We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you're buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
This is Evan Dawson. If you like conversations that take you beyond the headlines, join me on Connections. Every day, we dig into the issues shaping Rochester with the people living them, researching them, even trying to change them. No hot takes, no shouting most of the time. Just real conversations to keep you involved in your community. Listen to Connections wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy, the podcast that tells you what it's actually like to be a women business owner. And we are talking women business owners today because it is just a Kelly and Kelly episode. I'm your host, Kelly Bush.
And Kelly Metris.
And how are you today?
I'm good. I'm getting through. If I sound off, I'm foggy. I'm on the cold meds. And we're gonna talk today. And hopefully I make sense and the thoughts that are in my head come out appropriately.
So you're saying this could potentially be a drinking game episode where you and I just go off on a tangent?
I mean, this episode, we haven't told people what we're going to talk about yet. It's already kind of an intense topic. Yeah. That not everybody is going to want to hear. And so who knows where it's going to go? Let's find out.
That's right. We are going to talk about, are you built for this? The founder wiring reality. What is it like to actually understand your brain? And how is that impacting what you do in your day-to-day business life and regular life as well? Because I think a lot of this does transfer.
We joke about how there's a slight, you know, mental illness that runs through business ownership that you have to be willing and able to do all of the things all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that just willing guilt. Or just able. It's willing and able.
Mm-hmm. There is a handout. You are welcome to download it. Before we get started, feel free to pause us and download that because you're going to want to maybe follow along. This is not homework. This is just a tool that we're giving you for free to kind of follow along with us. So check out our website, bossyrock.com, R-O-C, and download that if you'd like before we get started.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must-be-nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
All right. For those of you that are done pausing, let's see. What are we managing as business owners? We're managing money. We talk about that a lot. We're managing emotions. We're managing chaos, whether it's ours or somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff, our customers, the experience of both. We're selling ourselves. We're selling product. We're selling the experience.
Money flow.
Did you get taught how to do this?
Expenses. No, I didn't get taught how to do any of this. I don't even think in business classes you really... Actually, I mean, I wish I would have taken one for a couple of reasons, more to understand QuickBooks. But I don't think even business classes really show you what it's like to be a small business owner. It's not there and nobody's teaching you that. And
you're
all of a sudden, day one, as soon as you sign that paperwork, you're on the hook for all of that. It's one of the main reasons we founded this group and started this podcast is because people don't talk about that stuff. But we have a lot that we're in charge of.
You weren't taught about doing any of those things, but you have to lead while you're doing it. You have to maintain composure. You have to present yourself in a way that other people are going to replicate. You know, you want your, if you have employees, you want them to treat people the same way. If you want customers to come back, right? Like, so not only are you doing all of these things and the thousand things in your head, for those of you that can't see the hand motions I'm making, you also have to lead everyone along the way.
Right.
Which is a whole nother level.
Absolutely. And I like that you pointed that out. This isn't just about if you have employees. If you don't, you're managing customers. You're managing vendor relationships. All of that stuff is a whole added step to all of the stuff that we're already doing.
And you probably sometimes think you suck at it. And
yes,
that it is
you. Mm-hmm. It's not. Yeah, it's not. It's not your fault.
You, sir. It's not your fault. You're not doing it wrong.
No.
You're just maybe approaching it in a way that's not beneficial.
Right. Business ownership is the hardest job you will ever have. And if you are still doing it, you are doing it right. You just need to figure out your wiring.
Yes. Congratulations to all of us out there that are running businesses, because the economy depends on us. Our communities depend on us. We talk about the big businesses. We think about the big businesses, the ones we don't want to mention because we don't want to give them free advertising. But mm-hmm. they're not the ones that are the backbone of community. They're not the ones that create stability and a feeling of belonging. It is the right. small business owners. I believe it's something like 80% of actual business ownership is small business ownership.
Right.
So those conglomerates. And also small business is 500 employees or less, according to the government. So let's put that in perspective.
Right.
You know, we're the ones that are lifting up the communities and helping out and creating change.
Yeah.
Let's figure out what we need to do it easier. Not better, easier.
Right. You don't have to work harder. Just work better and smarter.
Smarter. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're feeling like you're failing, if you're feeling like you're struggling, if you're feeling burnt out, you're not wrong. Not everyone is wired to lead the same way. Small business ownership exposes that so very quickly. So what we've done, and I will say, and I'm sure Kelly will agree, we are not psychologists or psychiatrists. Nope. We don't have degrees in this. This is just something that after meeting in Bossy alone, hundreds and hundreds of business, small business owners, micro business owners, we've kind of figured out everybody kind of falls into these four categories, these four archetypes, and we've named them and we've kind of come up with some wiring that makes you understand how that brain works and how you can use that to your advantage and how it's working against you as well and how we can kind of help on some of that stuff. And luckily, we fall into all four of the categories between us and our business partners.
And you're going to find that you probably fall into them at different times in different ways. But let's start with asking everyone out there, just think for a second, stop what you're doing. Are you burned out because you're just going to do it yourself? I could ask somebody else to do it. By the time I teach them, I'm just going to do it myself. It's going to be quicker. It's going to be easier. I'm just going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that all the time, it's exhausting.
Right.
What about lack of follow through and knowing that the chaos that you created could have been stopped?
I am raising my hand if you can't see me.
What about taking everything personally? It is emotionally exhausting. Those Google reviews, man, sometimes like I can get 10 positive ones and then that one negative one, it hits hard.
It's
emotionally exhausting if someone quits. It's emotionally exhausting if someone's upset, doesn't like the way you're doing something, whether it's a client, a customer, an employee. It's emotionally exhausting thinking, okay, I should have this conversation, but I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just carrying that with you.
Yeah.
Or frustration from dealing with the people, overthinking everything. 8,000 different ways that you're going to fix this problem, but then you actually can't actually act on any of them because it's too overwhelming and frustrating. Those are just a few examples of why we're burnt out.
And you probably feel them several times throughout your business owner journey, sometimes several times throughout the day. There is a good chance one of them is prevailing for you, and that's what we're gonna focus on today.
All right, let's dive in.
All right. So the first archetype we have decided on is the builder. The builder thrives in pressure. They take control fast. They hold everything together. They run that shift. They run their time. They fix everything. They never sit down. That seems like a great thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that is something that's going to lead to burnout so quickly and control issues. I will just do it myself.
Yeah. You could train somebody so that future you isn't so exhausted.
Right.
But instead, we're just going to run forward. Anybody in mind for that one, Kelly?
Yeah, I married him.
We love you, Don.
We love you, Don. But
and yeah, it's so easier.
Sorry, go. Keep going.
In the moment, it's so much easier to do it yourself.
Right.
And to maintain control of everything. But future you, you're just screwing them over.
Right. And I mean, he's the one we always call when we're in that situation. Like, we need a fixer quick. We need something done right now. We need somebody who can hold it together in those moments. And that's him.
Thank you for that, Don.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We're gonna work on that, though. Should we just run through all of them right now?
We'll do it. Let's go. What's next?
The visionary. The visionary is creative. They're brand driven. They're experience focused. They are the ones who are coming up with the new product ideas. In our world, we're coming up with new menu designs because we just have a new vision, events, aesthetics, customer experience. And what that risk is, that high risk of lack of follow through and chaos behind the scenes.
Yeah, you have all these ideas, but does anybody know the details of them? You made a Facebook event, but your staff might not know what the hell that means when people walk in.
Or answer the phone.
Do the flow of events or order the right products or be mentally prepared, you know, for what you're throwing at them.
Right. When we were coming up with these archetypes, I knew immediately that was me because there are times where I'm coming up with an idea at night and it's so on brand. It's so perfect. I think it's going to work amazing. I put something out there and then I don't share it. And then whoever's answering the phone goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's uncomfortable for them. Like, what a horrible position I put them in. But there's so many other things going through my head that I don't do the follow through on it.
I had a manager at one point in time that subscribed to our email. I can't say this out loud.
That's genius.
Oh my God. I can't say it out loud. She subscribed to our email so she would know what the hell I was doing.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's
when I realized that she was doing that. Was that when I realized I was doing it wrong? I was like, okay, Kelly, you're doing something wrong. Your general manager is subscribed to your email list so that she knows what the hell you're doing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Not okay.
I mean, they may have done that with me too. I don't know.
I'm like, how does that make her feel? Right. Like, I was like, oh my God, I am so sorry.
Yeah. We're not setting them up for success or our businesses, really.
Yeah. Every idea is a great idea, by the way.
I agree. But they don't always need to go all the way. Our next archetype is the guardian. They are people first. They are culture builders. They're emotionally invested. They know every employee's life story, and they are the ones that are out there protecting the team. And what that runs you at risk for is avoiding hard conversation and taking everything personally. Kelly, do you know anyone like that in their business?
I may be raising my hands. I have to say, I have learned to just have the hard conversations immediately because holding off on them, I mean, not always immediately, but like as soon as possible. Sometimes immediately is not the right time.
Right.
Because it just snowballs. And it's not just me. It's the people that I'm working with, right? It's whether it's a vendor or a customer or an employee. Like, if I'm taking it personally, they're also probably taking it personally. And it's so hard to separate those things.
It's impossible.
And then you're like, well, your product isn't working for me anymore. I'm not going to buy it. So how do you tell somebody that you're not, you know what I mean? Like, I was using your product to make my product, but no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or I don't need your service anymore because whether my business can't afford it or it's just not working or I'm not getting the ROI I wanted, whatever it may be, like, it's really hard. Just happy.
Right. I mean, I think about our relationships with, like, going back to our industry, you know, relationships with like say a credit card vendor who's doing all of your processing, and then you need to upgrade your POS because you're getting busier and you need more things than just a basic POS offers. And usually the affordable ones are doing their own credit card processing. And for no, they've done nothing wrong, but you have to sever that tie. It's so tough, but
it's still sad about that tie.
I know. And I just had a conversation. Yes, it's just tough. It's just tough. I think that's why I brought it up. It's so fresh on my brain, but and our fourth and final archetype that we have determined really categorize small business owners is the strategic operator. They are systems thinkers. They are efficiency focused. They are detail oriented. They schedule. They do the inventory. They check the margins, the processes.
Both.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah, they check both of those. And what they're at risk for is overthinking and getting frustrated. Frustrated with the emotional teams, frustrated with the way things are running, just general frustration.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. I've already figured out the best way to do it. Why can't you just do it?
Oh my gosh, Kelly, you sound like somebody I know.
Oh, am I married to him?
You might be. You might be married to him.
And since he is an avid listener, we are saying this in the best possible way.
Absolutely. And you can't not have somebody in that situation. You need that. But
yeah. And it's hard in that position when you're that type of brain or you're working in that type of brain at that time to stop and consider the emotional aspects. Right. So when you're changing things because they need to be more efficient, or you're removing things or adding things, and then again, you're not sharing with your team, or you're not going over how this is going to look, you're going to have upset people. And you need to be ready and able to have those conversations again to deal with the emotional aspect. But you don't always have the patience for that.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, what we're saying, burnout from being a small business owner is not from hard work. It's from misalignment. So we're going to break down these even further and show how we can help out with that.
Well, and I think also like what we talked about in this is, you know, offline, is that sometimes the burnout is because you are working in a mindset that's not natural to you.
Right.
Like there are times we have to break down and be strategic operators. We need to be looking at systems. We need to be looking at efficiency. We need to be looking at the details. But if you're an emotional person and not a numbers person, left brain, right? And you're forced into this mindset because these items have to be addressed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be more difficult for you and it's going to be exhausting.
Right. Hello, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Don. Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? We have what you need at the Union Tavern Restaurant and Event Space in Seabreeze.
Whether you're planning a large celebration for up to 120 guests or need a cozy, intimate space, we've got you covered. Check out the Brad Street, our hidden gem speakeasy, perfect for gatherings of up to 20 people.
With reasonable pricing, an exciting and inclusive menu, and no reservation fees for weekday groups, the Union Tavern makes hosting your event easy and affordable.
Celebrate in style right here at the Union Tavern.
Book today at the Union Tavern Seabreeze.com.
So, builders running everything, no delegation, leading to exhaustion. Guardians managing conflict, leading to emotional overload. Visionaries stuck in operations, leads to feeling trapped. Operator in chaos equals constant frustration. Not working, misaligned. So let's kind of talk about how all of these things can help out in your business and how we can work with our archetypes better and to our advantage, and acknowledging where we might be a little bit flawed and how we can do things better. And I think one of the best ways is to talk about retention, whether that's retention with employees. We hear it all the time. I can't get any employees. Nobody wants to work anymore. Or retention with customers and with vendors. What do you say?
Might even be your home life, right?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Like, it's exhausting trying to manage everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a huge fan of employee relations and the weird emotional policies and procedures, right? So I'm an emotional thinker, but the policies and procedures are there to align and engage those emotions, if that makes any sense. So there are ways to combine things. And I think that we've, you know, we talk about it a lot. You need to bring people in that complement you, not compete. So if you are really heavy on the emotional side, you really need to have somebody that you're working with that's really heavy on the number side.
Right.
Right. If you're really confident in the production of your product, you need somebody that's on the customer service side. Like you need to have people that are going to round out your team so that all things are getting addressed. Or when you have a great idea at midnight that perfectly aligns with everything, the person that's
feeling judged, Kelly.
The person that's going to break it down and be like, okay, let's talk about the flow of ads. Let's talk about marketing. Let's talk about product, you know, what we need to bring in and who we need to schedule. You know, like you need those people on your team.
Absolutely.
So not only do you want to understand how your brain works, you want to understand how other people's brains work so that you can bring them efficiently and then hold them dear to your heart and keep them a part of your business.
Absolutely. That's such a good point. So let's put this into the real world. Should we start with the builder again?
Yeah. When you're the builder, you fix things fast. You are clear, concise. Your team's chasing you. You jump in and you take over. You redo work instead of showing somebody how to fix it and do it correctly. You're moving faster. When you're training, you're just going. And the person that you're training is just kind of trying to follow along, right? How does that make people feel?
Inadequate, mismanaged, micromanaged, replaceable. I think if you're moving faster than we are as your team, how do you keep up?
Yeah.
And where do you feel like you fit in?
That's a really hard thing for someone to stop and address, right? Like you really need to be open and honest and be like, I need you to stop me. I need build in stopping points to be like, are you following along? Check-ins, like, did you learn this procedure? Did you learn this policy? Did you learn this behavior? You know, making sure that they're doing it. And if they're, you know, maybe doing it better than you, just because you do it this way, somebody be like, well, what if we did it this way? And if it works out, great, cool. You don't have to have control.
Mm-hmm.
You already built it. Like, it's okay to tweak and make it more efficient without having you to have to do the work.
Right. And explaining that why is so important, because we just go, we go, we go. We teach, you do this, you do this, you do this. And I think one of the biggest reasons people don't always follow through with it is because they don't understand the why.
So important. And you have to understand the why yourself, right?
Right.
So it's you love what you do. You built this business, but what's the why?
Right.
And
if everybody is not following along or questioning it, maybe you don't really understand the why. You know, we have so many things on our plates. We said it at the very beginning. So many things that we're in charge of that we were never taught how to do. You just do things sometimes because that's just how you do them. Or you inherited this business from somebody else or bought it and you're just doing things the way they did because that's what people are used to and comfortable with. If you're getting challenged, maybe you don't understand the why.
Yeah. And then when it comes to smaller things, the why may be safety. It may be consistency. Consistency, right? Like, why do we create this in this manner? And when we could do it this way, well, that way is not safe, or that way doesn't hold up to code. A lot of employees have no idea what your codes are that you're following. They don't understand anything about the actual makeup of your business. They're just doing what they're told.
Right.
So letting them in on it. And then they're going to understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing as a teacher, really hard, is understanding people's learning styles. If they're not getting it the way you're doing it, you need to stop, back up, and explain it differently. Some people need pictures. This is what the final product's going to look like. Some people need pictures of every step, right? So it's like some people need a bulleted breakdown. Whatever it is, they need hands-on training. I am not somebody that can learn by you telling me. Mm-hmm. If you tell me things, gone. Hands-on training, I'm good forever.
Right.
I do it once or twice, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a whole other episode we can do at some point, is learning people's learning styles, because it is so important if you have a team. Learn for yourself, too. But learning styles of your employees, especially your close management.
Oh, yeah.
So important. So ways you can help if you are the builder and you're finding yourself in burnout, asking your staff after you've had a meeting, or if you don't have meetings, you need to start having meetings, and stopping and clarifying what you just said. Check and see if they are, if you're having to keep redoing it, then they're not understanding. That's a great way to know. Having meetings with your employees is so important, or your vendors. If you don't have employees, like, these are important things to have. and make sure that they understand.
And have them tell you, right? Mm-hmm. Reiterate it back to you, not just, this is what I said, you followed along, right? Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on. Well, no. What did I say? What did it mean? Have them, and then you'll know if they understand or not.
Yeah. It's for their brain, not your brain.
Right. For your business, their brain.
Yeah, true.
All right. Visionaries.
Mm-hmm. You create excitement. You create energy. But your team has no idea what version of the business that they're walking into.
Yeah.
I know. Even not being there when I come in, I still feel like I've created chaos.
Right.
Like, I'm at home. I'm like, I had this idea. Look at this flyer. Dude, what do you think about this? And they're like, I have 17 text messages. I don't know how to get through all of these and which one I'm supposed to be taking seriously.
Did we really just start 37 book clubs? Why, yes.
Oh, Kelly, that hits hard.
Just one, two, seven.
I did just 37 book clubs.
You're not fully thinking about your rollout. You're not being consistent.
Constant changes, and the staff end up confused. There's
unstable.
Yeah. No idea what the expectations are. That is
pretty clear.
Yeah. Right.
So all of our staff need to make sure that on the onboarding, when you hire people or you have vendors, you need to be like, are you signed up for my emails?
Because
then you'll know what the hell you're doing.
Right. And one way that I, because this is definitely my archetype, have figured ways around to build more consistency more than creativity. I have the people I know that I can turn to for creative meetings. So if I have an idea now when I'm back at work, we're going to take these last 2 months not into account if my staff are listening, because I know I've been crazy, a little cuckoo. I have these creative meetings. Does this make sense? I had this idea in the middle of the night. I think it's fantastic. I need you to challenge me. Is it feasible? Is it on brand? Is it time sensitive? Is it something that should wait until we're busier? You know, you have seasons in your business. Every great idea doesn't have to be executed immediately. There might mm-hmm. be, that might be a great thing for fall or February when people really aren't coming out so much. Let's hold on that. And having those detail-oriented people really challenge what that is and ask the important hard questions. You also have to be somebody who can take in the hard questions and not get offended. Right. But it results in great, great things and a continuation of your brand and experiences that you can offer, which is magical. But you have to be able to have those meetings.
When you want to offer them clearly, right?
Right.
And that's an easy, nothing's easy, but that's a procedure, right? You can have a sheet that breaks down what the idea is
with
all of those questions you just asked. When are we going to do it? What staffing do we need? You know, product do we need to get in? What changes have to be made? If it's going to be in a space, what's the seating arrangement, right? You have to have all these things broken down. And when you're in the constant hamster wheel of trying to bring business in and creating all these fun things because you're trying to grow your business and making your customers happy, you also need to stop. Then you need somebody to be like, okay, here's the worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
Fill it out. And you're like, oh, crap. Now I have to actually sit on this.
Right. And if you've been listening to our podcast, we talk about it often. This is a great time to go back to your business plan.
Yes.
Kelly says all the time how this is a living document. And if you don't have a business plan, IRS will help. If you do, this is a time to go back and kind of see, do you need to tweak things? Is this falling in line with that? You have a framework. If you have a business plan, you have a framework already.
Yeah. So what is your mission? What are your values? Does this align?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, use your business plan.
Absolutely. All right. The Guardian. You build loyalty, you build culture, but you avoid the conversations that actually protect both. So
letting things slide because you love the person, you care about the person, you know the person's deal outside of work, so you're not going to give them a hard time about this thing that they keep doing incorrectly or this argument they keep having, or, you know, you don't enforce the standards early again. Because you know the people, you're focused on what they need, not what your business needs. You take it personally, they might take it personally. What if they don't like me? What if I tell them they can't wear that to work? What if I tell them that they can't say these things? What does that mean about me? What are they going to say about me?
Mm-hmm. And then your
staff. But everybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm answering your question for you. Everybody else is looking and saying, what are the rules? What are the boundaries? How come they can say that and this person got yelled at for it? How come they can wear that and this person got sent home? How come, right? How come? And then you have your unequal treatment. You have your favorites. Nobody wants to think that there's a favorite. I mean, there's definitely favorites. Some of our employees have been with us for like 15 years. I'm sorry, you just can't. Some people just aren't going to get there right away. And right. It's like, it's not that they're my favorite. It's that I know I can count on them. They already know all the boundaries. They know the policies and procedures. I don't have to follow through. So that's why they're my favorite, because they're causing me the least amount of strife.
Right. But in general, that does lead to frustration and it leads to people feeling things are unfair. That's so tricky.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people have you kind of let slide on something because you know the good outweighs that one bad?
Yeah. The being late, the consistent lateness. Uh-huh. But you know that their life's a hot mess. You know that they're in a bad relationship. You know that their kids got stuff going on. None of the rest of the staff know that. None of your customers know that. And you can't share that information. So you have to find a way. I've learned from experience. You have to find a way to approach it and be head on and address the issues and be clear and concise. Make sure you're doing it to everyone. Mm-hmm. Have other people holding you accountable. If you have a manager, you know, that's a great person to be checking, because being clear is kind.
Yes. And fairness doesn't look the same for everybody. And if you are somebody who is in that guardian role, that guardian archetype, when you bring new people in, let them know, like, we're going to be as fair as we can and as honest with you as possible. So when things come up, be clear with that, because we can make things work for you. If you're somebody who's always late because of X, Y, and Z, if you bring that to me, we can change your schedule. We can make accommodations for that. I think guardians are such wonderful people because they are accommodating in a way that's not necessarily taking away from their business, and they are creating a culture of safety. And that's amazing. But you have to be open and honest about it and not make it look like, oh, she's getting away with that because she's the favorite or she's been here longer, because that's not always the case.
And that's when people quit. I mean, there's lots of reasons people quit, but that's the reason people quit. So if we're talking about retaining the important people in our lives and our businesses, you have to be clear with everybody. I often say in my staff meetings, like, it may not always look the same, but that's because every single one of us has a different issue. Mm-hmm. And when you come to us and we work with you, we're going to work with everyone. So it's not your business to know everyone's business, but it is my business.
Right.
So it's okay. Clarity is kindness. I'm learning.
Yeah. You're doing a great job. All right. Let's move to the strategic operator. They create structure and systems, but your team doesn't always feel seen. What ends up happening, you focus on efficiency over emotion, which is so tricky and sometimes necessary. You're communicating expectations, but not connecting them to anything. And you expect logic in emotional situations. That's so tricky. That's so tricky. And we all do it, but your staff ends up feeling disconnected, replaceable, and unmotivated.
Yeah. You know, faster, faster, faster is nothing anybody ever wants to hear. Mm-hmm. Better, better, better without any backup.
It's those high expectations with I don't want to say no reward, but it's like, you know, we all know people, it's not me, but we all know people who had that parent that was just, you need to be the best, you need to do the best, you need to X, Y, and Z. And that's not always where we're at. Sometimes my best does not look like meeting those high expectations. Sometimes my best is I got out of bed and I came to work.
And when we tell people that they need to be the best, but we don't tell them what the best means.
Right.
And we're not finding that. Or we're saying, you know, you've been here for XYZ, you should know how to do this. Well, if they don't know how to do it, it's on you. They missed out somewhere.
Yeah. If you're continuing to have to explain the same thing over and over again, they're not getting it.
Yes. You are explaining it incorrectly. People don't stay for systems. They stay for leadership. If they feel like they're being taught things, that's exciting. Most people are excited to learn something new. Most people want to do well. They don't want to suck at their job. They don't want to be miserable. And when you are good at something, you feel good doing it. So the emotions may not be the top of the line for the strategic operator, but they need to be higher because the emotions of the people that you are leading are going to be a take or break.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose people.
Right. Letting them in on these processes. Like, you don't have to have, not every business needs an open book policy with their employees, but some level of that is so important to understand the why. Again, always understand the why. We always come back to this.
We're not robots. We're people. No. And that's the same thing with everybody else that we work with in our business. No matter what role they have with our business, we are all people and everybody is happier when we understand each other. So if you're struggling with retention, it's not a hiring problem. It's leadership. You're creating a pattern that needs to be broken. No one wants to work anymore. No.
I know.
No one wants to work for shitty people. They don't want to work in environments that don't make them happy. We're like, oh, well, you just got to get over it. Pull it up by your bootstraps or whatever it is. No, you have to make people feel seen and heard.
And safe.
And they want to be happy to work with you.
Mm-hmm. Let them feel like they're actually a part of a team. We say it all the time. We're a big team. We're a big family here.
Yeah.
Make them feel like they actually are a part of the team. Let them in.
They're aligned. They're not confused. People generally leave or don't know how to do something, which leads to them either getting fired or quitting, right? For three reasons. They don't understand the expectation. They don't understand the outcome, right? The final product. They don't understand the why. Why am I doing it this way? Why am I doing it at all? And they're not trained correctly. And it may be they've been shown 10 times, but if they weren't shown the way that they're going to learn, they're going to be too embarrassed to ask you to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're one of those go, go, go people, they're just be like, okay.
And you're going to miss that. And that really does come down to those three things most of the time.
So how do you fix it?
Now you can be clear.
You can hire us for the more intense versions of this, but the quick fixes, be clear. What does that mean?
Clear expectations.
And start right at hiring, right? Your job description and your expectations of each job, those need to be written out and you spend the time to do it once and you're good. You can reuse it. I mean, obviously, sometimes they need to get altered a little bit, but you use it for everything. You put it out there. It's part of your interview process. You interview for behavior, not what their definite experience is, right? I could have a top chef, but if they're an asshole, why do I want them working in my kitchen?
I don't even bring people in for interviews anymore. If they are qualified on some level that I want them to be qualified for whatever it is that I'm hiring for, I bring them in for a shift. I'm not going to know, and nor do they usually, how it's going to work out until they are put in the middle of my teams.
Yeah, because you have to see how the personalities are going to mend and their behaviors are going to react to those personalities. And that's really the key. I always say I can teach you anything. I could teach you how to do anything in the business. I can't make you a different person.
Right.
And different groups of my team need different people depending on who left and what hole I'm filling. Training, structure, let people know what the ultimate goal is, right? Switch from visual to learning to tactile. You want to, you know, use up different training styles. And I always say it's not testing, it's check-ins.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like on our, they used to say quiz. Now they say check-in one, check-in two. I'm not going to fire you because you don't know the answer. And people see the word test and they're like, oh my God, nobody likes a test, right? I hate
it's so triggering.
And then I'm a type A. So like you give me a test and I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But it's a check-in. I want to see what you've been taught so that I know what is left.
Right.
And if you've been taught something incorrectly, I know to fix it now because before it turns into a pattern. And then following up on those, right? Making sure that they have learned the correct way. They have learned the policy or procedure that they didn't know before. Don't leave people in chaos. Nobody likes chaos.
No. Streamline that.
You have to be communicative. I can't say that word.
Communicative.
You need to have open communication. You need to have active listening, which is a training in it of itself. You need to address issues early and quickly. And you need to reinforce people when they're doing the right thing. Everyone likes to feel good.
Yeah. And keep those check-ins going.
Yeah. All right, Kelly, I'm going to let you go on this quick. The conflict. Your staff's going to fight. This is not your failure. This is what we're not robots. And I guess that someday when we have robots, they're probably going to fight too. I don't know how we're going to handle that. But while we're dealing with people, let's handle some conflict.
Yeah. It's going to happen. And what you need to do is, first of all, if it's between people, two people, three people, separate, listen. It's an idea that, like, we're just all gonna, we don't have time, we're gonna all sit to get down together and hash this out. You need to separate. You need to listen. You need to summarize. Get your head about you and take your personal shit out of it and bring people back together and resolve it and it's document it.
Never about the burrito. I've had multiple of those conversations
never,
in the past
never about
weeks.
The burrito. Yeah.
It's never about the burrito. We've all got shit we're bringing in. Mm-hmm. And then when all that shit meshes together, it's bound to be conflict.
Mm-hmm. And when somebody is just messing up, it's address that quickly, document it, and make sure you follow up. That's so important. And again, document, document, document all the time. You may need this information at some point.
Even if
and
you just
to learn. Right. And go back over it after you've gone through this. Give it a couple of days and then go back and see what you've written down. Maybe you weren't in alignment. Maybe you could have been part of the problem.
Maybe you need to update something on the way. Because if your onboarding is clear and concise, fixing things is going to be clear and concise. They're going to know the expectations. They're not going to take it personally that you're addressing this issue. It's not going to be a surprise to them that you're asking them to talk about something that happened that is not what is normally supposed to happen.
Yeah. And we are happy to train you offline about this. We have spent the better part of 15 years figuring this all out between our businesses. So we are happy to come in and help you out and teach you.
Are you hiring to fill up space or are you hiring to have people around you? The filling up the space is important. We need to pick the people that are going to create that circle, fill in what we need, not just people that are like you.
Mm-hmm.
And are you your own problem? I'm sorry. It's you.
Nobody wants to hear that.
I'm sorry. I'm going to break it down before we end. Clear expectations. Be consistent. Avoid hard conversations. Don't avoid. Sorry.
Are you? Are you
Don't
avoiding
Don't avoid them? Hard conversations. Don't be over-controlling. Create structure, not chaos. This is not going to break you.
No.
Because it's hard. It's going to break you because it fights what comes natural.
Mm-hmm. And build smarter. Be around people who actually are helping you with that mission.
So take your wiring, figure out where you fall, figure out what you need. Maybe you already have the people in place and you're just not using them appropriately.
Very good.
Or maybe
point.
You need to bring new people in. But you got this.
Yeah, we believe in you.
It is the hardest job you are ever going to do, and we were not trained to do it. So on that note.
Yeah, I think we need that. That's the shirt. That's the shirt that's for this shirt. Episode.
If you need to re-listen to this, I feel like I do already, even though we wrote it and conversation, you know, it's important and go back to your business plan.
Right.
Make sure everything's lining up. And if you have any questions, please reach out to us.
Please do.
At
bossyrock@gmail.com.
BOSSYROC.
ROC, no K, because we put the K in the rock.
The K in the rock.
You're welcome, Aaron.
Follow us at Bossy Rochester. And please don't hesitate to reach out. We're here to support you, and maybe we need you to support us.
Always.
Stay bold.
Stay brave.
And stay the boss.
At Selena's Mexican Restaurant, we are proud to be Rochester's favorite place for all of life's celebrations. Family-owned and operated since 1998, we believe that great food brings people together. From fun Mexican-inspired dishes and delicious handcrafted margaritas to our monthly tequila classes, we love creating experiences you'll remember. With private event options, corporate team building, and 24/7 catering, we've got you covered no matter what life throws your way. Visit us at Salinas.com, Salenas.com.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.